Are we ready, Pischetti?
Oh my goodness. Yes, we are ready, Pischetti. Thank you for adjusting the intro. I feel like Ready Spaghetti has, you know, at this point, we've said it a million times. Are you ready, Pischetti? Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Yes, I am. And are you saying this, by the way, in a childish voice? Is there a reason? Is it thematic reason towards this?
Yes. Yes. Yes, because today we are going to talk about the sunshine fun time topic of child stars.
I can't wait. So welcome to I'd Kill a Spider for You. My name is Catherine.
And I'm Carmen.
And this is our, shall we say, bi-weekly? We haven't been very bi-weekly in the last 6 months, but it's our bi-weekly officially. I didn't say which bi-weeks it is. It's a bi-weekly podcast where Carmen and I talk about whatever we like. And we are best friends, and we've been best friends for 400 years at this point.
Yeah.
And we share our opinions and we politicize things. And we try to make these sometimes very grim topics fun. So yeah. I guess we can begin. We're not going to do too much preamble except to ask, Carmen.
Yes.
Did you ever want to be a child star?
100%. How is that a question? Of course I did. Yeah. Of course I did. I would look at these kids and I was like so jealous, and like they were living the high life. I wanted to be them. I thought it was so cool. Mm-hmm. I was like, it was everything I would have ever wanted. I really wanted it. And for a really long time, I think I semi-resented my mother because she had gotten a lot of offers when I was little to be a model, mm-hmm. like to do child modeling stuff. And so, mm-hmm. and my mom was always like, no, hell no.
Carmen, you could have been the subject of this episode. You could have been on TVO Kids. You could have been on Popular Mechanics for Kids. And then you would have married Jay Baruchel.
And I would have married him.
The life you could have lived. No, that makes sense, because you were very adorable as a child. You're still adorable, but you had very good
dimples.
The double dimples, the curly hair. It was very TV friendly, 100%.
Ethnically ambiguous.
Yes. You could have been Selena Gomez. You could have been Demi Lovato, any of them.
Yeah. I could have been that girl in the Pepsi commercials.
See?
Remember that little girl with the curly hair in Pepsi commercials?
Yeah. Yes.
Could have been me.
You could have been Porque no los dos tacos, Taco Bell girl.
Yeah.
You could have been that, 100%.
But what about you?
I don't know. I think obviously it'd be a lie to say I wouldn't have wanted to be a child star. Mm-hmm. I mean, who among us did not make the fake Disney Channel? You're watching Disney Channel, in their rooms. Like, of course I wanted to be a child star, but I don't know if I ever like saw my way in the same way. I always thought I'd be like more of like a cool young actress kind of thing. Like not a child star, but like maybe early 20s. I did not do that. I guess there's still time. I can just lie.
Right? And you do look the part, so.
Ain't nobody know how old we are. So like we can just lie. I can become Zendaya's aunt. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But like at this point, I think the dream has sailed. But like, I think like who among us didn't want to be a celebrity, and who among us didn't think it seemed like the coolest way to spend your life?
100%. And then it's also like, oh, we get to meet all these people and we can travel and like, mm-hmm. you know, we get to go to movie premieres, and little did we know
the absolute horrors that befell many of those kids.
Now, to be clear, okay, when you think of the term child star, who's the first person that pops into your head?
Very strangely, Elijah Wood. But he's actually one of the examples of a child star. Exactly. He is actually the model version of a child star. He was a child star who had, as far as we know, nothing too bad happened to him. His parents apparently were always with him. And now he's like a semi-stable adult.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why. But you say child star, I'm like, Elijah Wood.
I didn't even think of Elijah Wood as a child star.
Of child stars, but that's who I thought of.
That is very fair. Mine is very unfortunately the opposite, because the first person I think of when I think of child star is Corey Feldman.
Oh, rough. That's actually rough. That's the roughest. That's, again, the polar opposite.
The roughest of rough.
is Corey Feldman.
God. And so the reason we're talking about this is because the documentary came out that everybody's been talking about, which is Quiet on the Set. And I have to say that I feel like I can toot my own horn because all the shit, it is vindication because all the shit I get for having paid for my Discovery Plus subscription, because everyone's like, what the fuck is on Discovery Plus? And I'm like,
you geriatric woman with your Discovery Plus subscription.
It's like, first of all, they have all of Planet Earth, but also they have all of the reality shows you could want. Discovery, it has like the ID channel, which is like true crime. It has all the TLC shows, all the Oprah ID Network shows, everything. Yeah. It has everything.
Alanya Fix My Life or whatever.
Yeah. She is magnificent. And so when I found out that's where it was streaming, I was like, I'm going to be the only fucking one who has it. So I watched it. I gave my password to my friend Mike because he's like, I must see this. Because him and I actually talk about Corey Feldman all the time. He's constantly sending me Corey Feldman videos.
A standing friendship meeting topic is Corey Feldman.
It is. Like, he's always like, is this man? This man's not okay. Like, mm-hmm. I know. So I watched the documentary. It is hard to watch. So for anybody who doesn't know, if you've been living under a rock, the documentary is essentially, it's a docuseries, 4 episodes, and they're looking at Nickelodeon specifically and how really insidious their like abuse was in Nickelodeon and how people knew and didn't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. One, like the main thing is like Dan Schneider, who is like the show's like producer, creator, showrunner.
I'll hold my comments, but yes.
Yeah. And the banana shit that he did, mm-hmm. You know, sexual harassment. There are rumors still flying about Amanda Bynes and things that he did to her. And just like the horrifically inappropriate jokes that he made sure were written into the shows.
Yes.
And then a lot of like obsessions with like feet and
obsessions with feet. We're not here to body shame, but can I just say, if you put like a picture, like if I said, hey, draw a pedophile, there's like 2 options for pedophile that you can draw. And he's one of them. You know what I mean? You're like, that's him. There he is, sir.
Yeah.
That is him.
And now that he's grown facial hair, even more so.
It's the skinny and the fat. And he is the platonic ideal of the fat pedophile aesthetic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're just like, wow.
But he's not even the worst.
There he is. Yeah, no, he's not. I mean,
because there were, they get into a lot of the stuff around like the fact that Nickelodeon hired 3 that we know of pedophiles that went to jail.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
3, one of whom ended up then getting out of jail and working on Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Which is insane. The idea that you could go to jail for pedophilia and then get out and then go work on a kid's show. I heard the one, I'm not sure, I'm sure we'll get into it, but like the one where it's like someone was like selling kids used panties or something like that.
Somebody was keeping them.
Not even making a profit. Of like little girls used underwear.
Yeah.
The horrors. But like, I guess we'll be getting into it.
But the documentary, one of the main things that came out was that Drake Bell actually came out as saying that he was one of the victims of one of said pedophiles that had been hired by Nickelodeon. Mm-hmm. It was really sad, honestly. That was really difficult for me to listen to in general. Maybe less so, they didn't really get into the gravity of it. Like they show like all the things, not all the things, but you know, everything he did to him and like anything you could think that they did to him, they did to him. This man did to him for years. I think for me, the saddest part, and we'll get into talking about parents, I'm sure at some point, because that's very important to this conversation. But I think it was just really sad because he was let down time and time again by like every single adult in his life. And so it was really, it's just like a really hard thing to listen to. And so everybody right now, I think, is talking about child stars. How are they kept safe? Like, how are these kids that are on these TV shows actually like being kept away from like unsafe people? Where's accountability? Is there accountability? It's a lot like the Me Too movement, but with children.
Which basically, like, which I mean, if anyone needed it, it was the children.
Yeah, yeah,
because children in Hollywood.
I had no fucking clue. This is the thing. Like, you know, you hear about it and you're like, yeah, there's probably some weirdos out there. But now that I've seen this documentary, I'm like, oh, that's all of you.
It's all of them. And that's the thing. Cause like when you say it is funny that Elijah Wood, the best example of a child star popped into my head. But like, when I think of, again, we can start talking about Corey Feldman now, if you like,
yeah.
When I think of like Corey Feldman, I'm like, he's been like basically screaming at the top of his lungs for years about how horrible all of this is. And so I've always had that in the back of my head. Like I always, when I think about the horrors related to child stars, I think of Corey Feldman and I think of Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
And I think of the fact that like one is an example of a kid being very clearly sexually assaulted, and the other is an example of a kid being put in situations where she's like exposed to drugs and alcohol, and obviously who knows whatever else happened to Drew Barrymore.
Didn't she go to rehab at like 13?
Yeah, she went to rehab as a little girl. Like these are the things that kids are exposed to. So there's abuse from like every side, like coming at them. And unless they have parents who are extremely vigilant, they're going to end up in like bad situations. And not even to mention all of the, just the regular psychological trauma that comes from being in the spotlight as a child.
Yeah, exactly. And so that also worries me just in terms of like, so if we look at Corey Feldman right now, he has created his own Michael Jackson tribute band in which he performs as Michael Jackson.
You know,
have you seen those videos?
I have seen those. And you know what? It's here's the thing. Corey Feldman looks unwell. You see him, like you see like a glance at him and you're like, oh, he's not doing good. I don't know what's going on. But he does have that Michael Jackson tribute band where he looks kind of like MJ. It's a whole thing. And he also has multiple times said in defense that like Michael Jackson never did anything to him and that he was actually not a pedophile, which I never actually watched the documentary about pedophilia, which I think, like, we don't know. I don't know. I haven't watched that one, but I think that one confirms that he was, or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, maybe he just didn't do anything to Corey Feldman. But it's interesting. It sure is interesting that he chooses.
Yeah, Corey Feldman, first of all, I feel bad for him. And for a multitude of reasons, like he does say he was abused by his manager and like a couple of other people. He said Charlie Sheen sexually assaulted him as well in his book, I think. And I just, if you look at some of the old interviews that he did, people are so mean to him. Mm-hmm. Barbara Walters is such a fucking asshole to him.
Is she dead?
Yeah.
I mean, rest in peace. Praise be. Continue.
She is like one of the biggest assholes. Like people are looking back at some of her interviews and like, oh, this woman was like terrible to people, and sexist, and obviously like gave no fucks about victims and was just like rude, and very unkind. And so if I look at Corey Feldman, and like the thing is, Corey Feldman and his friend Corey Haim, who they were both like quintessential 1980s, 1990s, like early 90s, mid 80s child stars, right? So like The Goonies, Stand By Me, The Lost Boys, like those types of movies, they were the kids, and they were really, really popular. And like, I love Corey Feldman because I love The Goonies and I love Stand By Me, and I thought those movies were great. But my whole thing is like his friend, who I would assume they had a bit of a trauma bond as well, because they were in these movies together. Corey Feldman says that they were both molested by the same people, and that they both witnessed, you know, the abuse that they had to deal with, like with each other. And his friend ended up dying by suicide. So like, you know, it's not good. Like the things are not good. And then, just, I don't know how he must feel. I mean, I honestly think at this point he's like in the stratosphere. Like he has just left the planet. He's not here.
He's not.
I don't think his brain is like working. And I do remember there's a podcast, the My Favorite Murder. They talked about, one of the girls was like, she's like Gen X, and she was saying that like that she ran into Corey Feldman like not super long ago at some point during the pandemic. And she was like so excited because she ran into him in like a convenience store and she was like, oh my God, hi, I love your movies. And he was like, do you have a lighter? And she's like, no. And he's like, huh. And then he just left.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not surprised.
Not well. But not like personable. He's not the only one. He's not the only one because Amanda Bynes at some point when everybody was like, she's crazy, don't believe her, was telling people that some executive at Nickelodeon got her pregnant at the age of 13.
Yeah, she's been saying that. I remember that too. And I remember the way, even at the time, like I felt bad for her because she was clearly going through everything. Going through it.
Have you seen her now? She's still going through it.
But it was one of those things where it was like initially kind of surprising. And then for me, I kind of was like, well, this is not actually that surprising because she's a child star. Who knows what kind of things have happened to her? But yeah, people mocked her relentlessly. People like there's so many tabloids about her, what she was doing. People just acted like she was behaving badly and not like she was literally crying for help. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's
the lack of compassion is genuinely shocking.
And it's like so painful.
I do believe that obviously there is a part of like our culture where if someone is a celebrity, they are entitled to a little bit less compassion. Not entitled to, they are given a little bit less compassion. And to an extent, depending on what it is, you can understand like why these things happen. But especially with child stars, it's like so unjustified how mean people are to child stars. Like it's crazy.
Awful.
Like awful. It's, and then there are people, I don't know why Ezra Miller popped in my head, but then there are people like Ezra Miller who are actually like cuckoo bananas. and like they have movies come out, but you know what, whatever.
Yeah. And also like, we don't have any compassion for them, but if it's like, I don't know, R. Kelly, it's like there's no shortage of people who like defend that man.
Support R. Kelly and defend. Why is it when someone's a legitimate monster, people be like, no, not him? Or what's that director? There's so many, obviously there are directors who've been accused of like sexual assault, but like
Roman Polanski.
But what's the one? He directed X-Men or whatever.
Oh yes, I know who you're talking about.
But like Brian Singer, doesn't he still work and do stuff?
Yeah.
Everyone's like totally normal, totally fine. Like Mel Gibson's absolutely nuts, and everyone's like totally normal, totally fine. Just an
anti-Semitic, racist asshat of a human being. And
people are like, I'm not gonna stop buying R. Kelly stuff, and you're like, listen, I laugh at Trapped in the Closet as much as the next person, sure. But we do not need to keep supporting this horrible man. Yeah, Chris Brown, all of these like grown ass men who do things who, again, I'm not saying that they don't have their issues, but their issues are different than a child star's issues.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, totally fine. Totally cool. I'm sure there are people right now lining up being like, P. Diddy did nothing wrong. You know what I mean? But Amanda Bynes can't be insane and she can't have any dignity, period, end of story. It's so horrible.
And now people are looking back and going like, oh shit, you know, like something must have happened. And I'm like, but you didn't see her before and think, oh shit, something must have happened. And the documentary doesn't really say that anything did happen to her, but it does basically get into the fact that like Dan Schneider took a special interest in her and in being there with her all the time and in mentoring her and whatever that looks like and separating her from her parents and her parents like never being in the same space as her when she was filming and all this other stuff. And so like I think the documentary has like at the basest of levels is just like Hollywood is full of like people who aren't following labor laws because there are all these kids who are like, yeah, you can only work this many hours as a child star, but if you don't work more hours, then they won't ask you back.
Yeah.
So you work as long as you work. And so things like that. But then there's other things where you're hiring pedophiles and like people are writing letters of support for pedophiles,
for the pedophiles like being like, this pedophile was my best friend, and why can't he be hired?
Man, I thought the Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis apology or like support letters were bad. To like,
which one were those again?
Remember? So for Hyde, for Danny Masterson.
Oh, that's right.
And that I don't think so they thought that crazy. It would be public.
That was so crazy. For those who don't know, that those ones were the ones where Danny Masterson is a monster. You can look it up. He was on That 70s Show, and like Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher wrote a letter of support being like, he's wonderful. Then had to issue an apology, basically being like, oopsie daisy, we didn't know these would be public, because their apology is so bad. It's very clearly like, oh no, we thought we could just support him anonymously. Now everybody knows and thinks we're assholes. And it's just like, it's so regrettable. It's so terrible.
Yeah, it's so bad. And I think that type of behavior continues. So Catherine, I want to ask you, what are your thoughts on parents of child stars?
Okay, listen, I think a lot of them are in it for, I think here's the thing. If a kid is like interested in being a celebrity or whatever, or not celebrity, interested in acting and interested in being in movies or this or that, like, it is not necessarily a bad thing as a parent to support that dream and to like help your kid get into these things.
Right.
If you are not there with them though constantly, then I have some issues, because like, you cannot just be leaving, number one, unless it's a school, you shouldn't be leaving your kids alone. You can't be leaving your kids around just people and expecting everything to be fine. You don't know those other adults. Like, there's no others. It's basically like, you might as well just go and every day throw your kid in the mall alone. You know what I mean? You don't know those people. You do not know those people.
Yeah.
Like, so I feel like I do have a lot of issues whenever I hear about like, again, a child star who's normal. A child star who's normal. They always have like stories about their parents being there and being involved and also protecting them and all that kind of stuff. Whenever you hear the opposite, it's like they dropped that kid to the curb, they cashed some checks, and they said, see ya later.
But there, and then there are some kids who, you know, I think about the Culkins.
Yeah.
And the fact that they literally divorced their parents because they're like, you're stealing all my money.
You're stealing my money.
And like, you're not even a good parent.
Yeah, no.
And then they said, like, bye. And like, and then that's where I worry, because I'm like, how do we assess if kids are consenting to actually be in this industry?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're your parents' paycheck, and you are not age of majority, you can't make your own decisions.
Yeah.
And if you're, especially if you're super young, you're just going to do what they tell you to do. Like, you're not just going to sit there and throw a tantrum because like,
your mom is asking you to do this or
whatever.
Yeah.
And not just your mom, a bunch of strangers. And if anybody knows anything about kids, if a stranger tells you to do something, you know, or like not your parents, they do it because like, you're like, oh, it's this authority figure.
Mm-hmm.
That's like not my parents, so I have to do it. And so I also wonder about that, because watching that documentary and then also just like seeing some of the people who have done this work, I'm like, would you have wanted to do this?
Yeah.
Like, also, and
go ahead.
I was just like, some of the there was this one parent, God bless her, she's Black. She is I forget the actor's name, but basically the one Black kid on all that, that's a kid, that's a dude, talked about being like a token on the show, and that they had him do all the stereotypical like
Black characters. Things. Yeah, of course.
And how awful it was. But his mom essentially was like enough of a problem that they told him he couldn't come back. Because she wouldn't let him. You know, she wouldn't like leave him alone. Or if she thought something was wrong or that they were treating the kids poorly, she would like say something. And but that the other parents didn't want to rock the boat, so then they wouldn't say anything. And then, you know, like there was all this stuff. And so, which is great, I think. And she said, she's like, I didn't realize that I was saving my kid from a house of horrors. Like, I didn't realize that that's what I was doing. But now that I look, I'm like, like my kid would have been way worse off. But there was one story, Catherine, that like truly, okay, I don't know. You know, sometimes I like want to go in and be like, and like just go into somebody's brain because I cannot comprehend how you are a parent. Mm-hmm. But basically there was this kid and she was like an extra on All That. She was very excited. And there was this man who was like a PA and who is like the main pedophile that they talk, one of the main pedophiles that they talk about. Him and Brian Peck. So those are the two main ones. But he essentially was like, his task was to go grab the kids from where the parents were, take the kids onto set, mm-hmm. and then bring them back. But he would like talk to all the kids and they would like hang out and, you know, cause he was a PA and he was just around all the time. Sometimes worked for free, which should have been a red flag.
You know, no,
that something that, was
that,
going on.
That is a red flag, honestly, anywhere and everywhere. So you should question
the girl
that.
Was like 10 or 11, apparently. Mm-hmm. And the man was like, when she finished doing her extra stuff on the show, he said, oh, let's just keep in contact and keep emailing each other. And the mom, first red flag. But and the mom was like, yeah, this is fine. Cause like, you know, like it's really cool for her to like be able to talk to somebody who's like on set all the time and like who's in the industry.
Totally normal. Yeah.
Again, mm-hmm. grown man wanting to talk to a 10-year-old via email.
Truly about what? Anyway, yes, continue.
And then the mom said that at some point the girl received an email and got so upset that she like slammed the computer down or something and like left. Mm-hmm. And like, and then she was like asking her daughter what happened. Turns out this man sent her like pictures of himself.
That is okay. Here's the thing. The brain of a pedophile, of a PDF file, what is going through their heads that you think obviously his end goal was just to assault a child, right?
Yeah. Like, which he ended up doing. So.
But like, I guess in that instance, he's just assaulting a child with his body. Because yeah. In what universe does this grown man think that this would ever lead to anything else?
Yeah.
Like the 10-year-old is going to be like, ooh, let me get some of this adult man. No. There's no universe where that's happening, right? So his goal was simply to traumatize a little girl.
Yeah.
Right? But it's like, why do something so incriminating? It's your email. It's what, your body, Kevin? And you're sending it to a child's email.
Well, like, let me tell you about that. Because when the mom saw it, and this is her speaking, it's not like a secondhand account. Okay, she's telling us the story.
I'm already mad. What are you going
to
say?
She says that she thought about calling the police, but mm-hmm. didn't want to. Decided not to because she didn't want them to think she was a bad parent. Anyway, he went on to assault several other children on set.
I'm going to leave. What are you talking about? I don't want people to think I'm a bad. People are so narrow-minded and stupid. You don't want people to think you're a bad parent.
But
being
also,
a bad
like,
parent
I also
is
think
not.
You might be lying a bit. I also think you might be lying a little bit because I think also you want a paycheck.
This doesn't make any sense.
Because it doesn't make
clearly,
any sense.
Yeah. You want? Did the kid continue to go back to All That after that?
I don't know. They definitely.
Because I wouldn't be surprised if they did. I would not be surprised if they did. I wouldn't be surprised if that was just like episode 2.
He then did end up after that because probably he realized he could get away with it. Did actually end up assaulting several other children.
You know. Again, we really need to be vetting people who want to work with kids.
Like, also, we need to be vetting people who want children in general. What the fuck is that?
Yeah, no, that's crazy. You need to have a license. Number one, there should be in the same way that like now on sets.
There should be a parenting one.
There should be a parenting class that people should take.
When
it should
do you call the police?
Absolutely be an op- that should absolutely be a requirement or an option or something. But like beyond that, I do also feel like, you know how like now in Hollywood they have like intimacy coordinators can have intimacy coordinators for like sex scenes, which they didn't used to have before. So people used to do fucking whatever, but now they have that as an option and they are using them more and more, especially like post Me Too.
Yeah.
There needs to be some sort of fucking parental vetting system. Like they need to actually be checking
yeah,
these parents, and they need to be checking their staff. You can't just mm-hmm. trust that your staff is doing nothing wrong. You need to have somebody checking. You can't right. just have anybody fucking willy-nilly being hired. Again, the point where the guy went to jail for pedophilia and then got a job again back on set is insane.
On the Suite Life of Zack and Cody.
Like, most criminals can't get jobs for, like, if you steal, like, a piece of gum and you go to jail, you're not going to be able to work fucking anywhere. But you're a pedophile and you get the job back because it's that's Hollywood, baby. What are we talking about?
But like, this is the thing. So when they talk about Drake Bell, so essentially Drake Bell's dad was like the one who would take him, and he had been through like a really bitter like divorce thing yeah. and had been separated from Drake for a while, and then he was able to like regain custody, and so he took Drake because he was like, my kid loves acting, so like I want to see mm-hmm. we'll just try and see Drake what and happens.
Josh. Yeah.
And he did really well, and so they had him on Nickelodeon, and there was this guy who he was like, I don't feel so safe about my son being alone with this guy. This guy is giving my son a lot of attention, and yeah. and it makes me very uncomfortable, and I'm very worried, and I think something's very wrong. And essentially he ended up, you know, losing custody again of his son, in the sense that like he was his son's manager.
Yeah.
And his son ended up basically firing him, because when he went to people in Nickelodeon to be like, hey, I'm concerned about this dude that keeps hanging around my son, they were like, oh, you're just homophobic because he's gay. So that happened.
No.
And then they basically, like, Brian Peck started distancing Drake from his dad and like yeah. saying all these bad things. And anyway, so he essentially fired his dad, and his mom came on as his manager. But his dad called his mom to be like, whatever you do, don't leave him alone with this man.
Yeah, I've heard this one.
And then she did. What did she do? She left him alone with the man. And it's like, it was bad enough that basically Drake says that the way he told his mom was that years were going on. Like, this went on for years. And
poor Drake, this, though.
He was at his girlfriend's house, and this guy would always call to be like, you know, come over. Like, I, you know, we got to practice things. We got to work on like your speech, whatever. And he was like, no, I'm at my girlfriend's house. And the guy lost his whole mind. Calling nonstop, every 5 minutes. Then somehow found his girlfriend's home phone number and called his girlfriend's house.
Jesus
and
Christ.
And the girlfriend's mom answered the phone, and she was like, can I help you? And he's like, yeah, I just want to talk to him. He's like, no. What do you mean? And so then he sat there and so this woman who knows this kid, sort of, kind of, not really, sees the behavior that this man is like exhibiting and is like, mm-hmm. something
is not right here.
And then she sat him down and she's like, what's going on? And he's like, what do you mean? And she's like, this isn't normal for a grown man to be calling a teenage boy.
Yeah.
This many times, and then calling my house to have you come over. So you need to tell me what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And he like wouldn't necessarily tell her, but she knew something was wrong. And so she's like, okay, so you're staying here today. And so she called his mom and she was like, I just want you to know he's not leaving my house. And that's taking him to my therapist tomorrow.
That's wonderful.
So, and the mom was like, okay. And then that's where he
like cashing checks, being like, and what? Like,
okay. Yeah, she's like, I don't care. And then so he went and he told the therapist, and then he told his mom, and then like everything happened. And then he went to court because he was considered like a John Doe. And so he yeah. went to court, and all these like celebrities were there that wrote him letters of support.
Wrote the guy?
Yeah, the guy. The pedophile? Yeah.
Christ,
so many celebrities. Half the cast of Boy Meets World.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So among other people. So anyway.
Even Mr. Feeny? Really, like, who was it? Like,
No. It was the younger guys. It was like the younger dudes, which is scary.
It's scary to think of what situation they might have been in.
Yeah.
That's horrifying.
But I just like, I think about the mom and then I think about that in contrast with his girlfriend's mom. And I was like, his girlfriend's mom is not his mom. And she looked at what she had, when she took one look at the situation and said, fuck no.
Absolutely not. That's fucking literally.
I was like, go I want to punch his mom in the face. Like, I want to punch his mom in the face.
The mom deserves like a swift decking in the face, 100%. But like for the pedophile, like get in a time machine to ancient Greece and go away. Like go away. Nobody wants you here.
I'm trying to
calling a teenage boy being like, why aren't you coming over? Like this is, and like the thing is they're operating so in the open. It's not even as if it's something like that's covert. The fact that if one outside party is able to look at it for 5 seconds and being like, absolutely not.
This is you're not gonna.
So clear. Lord. It's so obvious. Let's go. Hit me.
Okay. I'm already in the dumps. I'm so sorry. Cause one of them, you're going to not like it.
I'm ready.
James Marsden said he couldn't breathe when he found out that Peck had been arrested, and added that Peck was the person who had encouraged him to move to LA and pursue acting. I've known Brian for 14 years and never once did I ever see any sign of him being capable of something like this. I have lived at his house for months and shared hotel rooms with him, and never once did he ever make me feel compromised or uncomfortable. How nice for you, James Marsden. You.
Wait, James Marsden. Wait, who's James Marsden?
James Marsden.
Oh, Enchanted.
Yes.
I thought you meant, I don't know why I thought of whoever, what's the guy's name who is the actor who plays Spike on Buffy?
Oh my God. Could you imagine? That would be so awful. No.
What's his name? His name is similar. Spike.
It'd be so funny if it's not at all.
James Marsters.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
wait, no, James Marsden? Yeah. Enchanted James Marsden?
Yeah.
Steal your girl, not steal your girl, has his girl stolen James Marsden?
Yeah.
Oh.
So sad. Alan Thicke, which the is Hedgehog, very...
Whatever, Alan Thicke. Yeah.
Oh, God. Checks Alan out. Thicke was another one. There was somebody from the show Growing Pains. Guy from General Hospital. One of the kids from Boy Meets World. Two kids from Boy Meets World, and then like a bunch of like
randos,
like PAs and like whatever that worked with him. So
he never molested me. Like and
I just don't get. I understand. Okay, so I, as somebody who like tries to work towards abolition, I understand a letter of support that's like, we recognize he has done horrible things, and we recognize that he needs, you know, therapy, or he needs, you know, we think that he should be sent to a facility that like provides support and like working through these issues. Like I can understand that as a letter of support. Huh. What I don't understand is a letter of support where you're like, actually, I think the person is lying because he never did anything to me. Those are two very different letters of support.
Those are so crazy. Also,
and like, I cannot imagine you writing one.
No.
When the person is accused of the most horrific shit. And then some of these people even went to court to support him.
That's absolutely fucking nuts. You know what? It's like, I also, the prison abolition thing is complicated because like part of me is like, yes, of course. But then I think pedophiles and serial killers, do they deserve, you know? What do we do with it? Carmen, what do we, like thieves? Doesn't matter. I don't give a fuck about anyone who's a thief.
Yeah,
fine. Totally normal. And they can be absolved of crimes. Honestly, there are certain people who, like, I feel like there are certain Wall Street people who deserve jail more than any like petty thieves or whatever. But like jail, yeah, it's very complicated. I do believe in prison abolition as well to an extent. But what do we do with the pedophiles and the serial killers?
I don't
put them in a ring? Dogfighting. Dogfight. There we go. Now that's the solution I can get behind. Let's do some dogfighting rings.
It's hard to kind of, I thought for me, it would be hard to grasp. Like, even if I like holding people accountable also means being honest. Like you can love somebody even though they've done horrible things.
But it's also like, an extent.
But like, yes.
Like Carmen, if but somebody that doesn't mean murdered that
you
someone. Like
allow the behavior. You no. can love somebody and not like excuse the behavior, especially if it's like, if it's somebody who's literally raped somebody.
A child. Not a just child. Raped somebody, but raped a child. Like, a raping child. Someone is already, like, top-tier crime. A child? The only thing on only thing worse.
And like also like basically like
than a rapist.
Alienated him from his parents.
Child. You know that
like
meme?
You alienated him from his parents. Like he didn't have contact with like his dad for a really long time. And like
horrible.
And then it's so sad because Drake Bell talks about how like he called his dad to tell him that like he had been arrested, like that the guy had been arrested, but he mm-hmm. didn't have the heart to tell his dad that he was the John Doe.
Oh, that's horrible.
So for years his dad didn't dad his dad didn't was know. Like I'm glad his dad literally was like I was so glad that they caught him before he could do anything to Drake.
Oh no, that's really
I was sad. So upsetting. It was so upsetting. That's and then devastating. I think like at this point, like we're seeing this now, I am sure there are countless kids with similar stories.
Oh,
and it
question.
Doesn't have to be again it doesn't ever have to be somebody that's like the head of like whatever. It can be a PA or it can be, and like, so TLC did the same thing. If we're talking about child stars, I think there needs to be a huge discussion on the morals and ethics and the labor laws around children that are on reality TV shows. Because
oh, yeah, that shit's, I mean, reality TV shows also
in general.
There, like, as an extension of reality TV shows, there needs to be some sort of fucking monitoring of family channels and YouTube and all of that
100%.
Shit. I don't know what the fuck's going on with that stuff. That stuff
no,
is
but there's
weird.
Like no regulation, and like kids are being exploited because parents are making tons and tons of money, and the money. Kids don't get to really keep any of it. And like, there's all this stuff, like the Duggars, all the stuff that came out about the Duggars, and like the dad basically kept all the money, even though. Yep. By law he was supposed to have it separately, but the way he set it up he found a loophole, so then he kept everything and his kids are all broke. Like it's awful. So there's that, but then there's also the fact that, like, for example, TLC, one of the kids on Little People Big World came out as being like, I was molested by a PA or like a sound person or like somebody worked,
yeah,
on worked the there. crew. And TLC's only response was like, we're really sorry that this happened to you, but these aren't part of TLC. They're like, what is it like?
Contractors?
Like,
or...
Yeah, like independent contractors. And I'm like, that's not an answer.
It's not
that's
an answer.
That's not an answer to how you're allowing pedophiles on set. And I'm like, yeah. I'm sure that they're not the only case. I'm sure there are tons of other situations where it's just like randos. So are you really like checking who they are?
They don't care.
No.
Because the simple fact is that they simply don't care. I mean, think about the fact, like what did they strike for? Obviously it was like for pay, like the recent strike in Hollywood. But like one of the things that they wanted to be able to do was own people's images in perpetuity and use AI. Like they literally don't care about anybody at all. They just want their image. They want their to be able to exploit them. They don't care how far they go. They want the money, period, end of story. It's very troubling.
But this has been going on forever, because if you think about Judy Garland, like did they not have her on like Uppers and Downers at the same time while she was filming?
Yeah.
And Diet Pills. Well, actually the Diet Pills were the Uppers because it was Speed, but like they had her on Diet Pills at a very young age. Because they were like, you need to stay skinny to play Dorothy, by the way. And also, like, you know, you need to blah blah blah. So this has been going on forever. Like you're telling a young teen that she needs to be on Uppers and Downers and all sorts of other medication. And then you're wondering why Judy Garland died so young.
Mm-hmm.
And like, poor Liza Minnelli. Anyway, Liza like Minnelli. There's so many.
Honestly,
there are so many.
I think I sent you today. She's not a child star. Yes. But Marilyn Monroe, the indignities and death that people receive. Like, for those who don't know, I found this out today. Marilyn Monroe, she's like in one of those like crypts where it's like the ones in the wall. And apparently Hugh Hefner bought the one next to her. Disgusting. You can't leave this woman alone. She's dead. And then there was another man who was a businessman who bought the crypt above her and wanted to be laid to rest face down so he'd be on top of her. And apparently he was, but then the people who worked there before they closed it, they like flipped him back up so he would be facing the correct way, because they were like, absolutely not, because the indignities that a woman must suffer even in death. But like, they've never respected anybody in anyone's bodies. Like no women, no children have been respected in Hollywood literally ever. But then even the
people that you think get out unscathed don't get out unscathed, because if you think about like the Olsen twins, or you think
oh my god
Hillary Duff or the Olsen twins, or I'm trying to think, like Lindsay Lohan or Christina Ricci, like all of these people have had eating disorders.
Eating disorders. Carmen, you know what I want to talk about? The fact that all of those, every single person you mentioned had a fucking countdown clock where people were counting down to when they turned 18. Oh. And Emma Watson and so many other celebrities. Like, and Millie Bobby Brown recently. They have
countdown Millie Bobby clocks. Brown's relationship with Drake was very concerning to me, but anyway.
Drake is a fucking weirdo, but like.
There'll be a documentary coming out. There'll be a documentary. Like, let's give it 15 coming years.
Up, let's, 15. 10 tops, like 8 max, that where the Drake documentary comes out. But like every single one of those women, one of those at the time girls, had countdown clocks online made by fucking creeps counting down to the second they turned 18 so they were legal. And I'm like, you just say you're a pedophile. Just say it with your chest. Say it out loud and proud. What is wrong with you? And the fact that, again, like not even... like we're talking so much about like all the things that happen on set, outside of being on set, they're still not safe. They're still being accosted by like paparazzi. They're still being sexualized by fucking weirdos online.
And also, like, I think about, so it's not just them. So when I think about child stars, I think personally, like, obviously those are concerns. But my main thing is always, the first thing I think about is labor laws. Like, who's keeping their money? How many hours are they working? Are they actually getting adequate education? Because, like, you know, they have to do schooling, but are they getting adequate education so that if they don't want to be actors, once they finish whatever they're doing as kids, they'll actually be able to, like, be successful in university or, like, do other
choose
things.
Choose some other career path, yeah.
Because that's also something that I wonder, like, I think about, so Tom Holland is obviously, like, he was a child star from when he was super little because he was Billy Elliot, like, for the longest time. And doesn't he have a story that he said once where he was like, his parents weren't sure, like, what was going to happen, and he had finished filming, like, Spider-Man, and he was like, and they were like, yeah, we're going to send you to carpentry school so that you can, like,
Do
something with your hands. Cute. And it ended up being a carpentry school where it was, like, a lot of people had just gotten out of prison, and him, and he was like, I just finished making Spider-Man.
That's funny.
And because his parents were like, we want you to have other skills.
Have a skill, yeah.
And, like, I think that's very fair. But I also think it's interesting, like, if your parents don't have a job or their jobs are literally managing you, you're fucked as a kid. Like, I don't think parents should be allowed to be your managers. I honestly don't think so. Because
An external manager probably is the fucking best.
It's a conflict of interest, because then your whole entire family's income falls down on this one possibly, like, under 10-year-old child.
I mean, people don't talk about it enough, but, like, Beyonce.
Oh, God.
Like, Beyonce, people forget Beyonce's been, like, doing this since she was, like, 15. And Beyonce was also managed by her parents. And
younger, because they were like on, what was it? There was like a star, some show.
Yeah, probably even younger. Like,
or late 80s, early 90s. And she was like, you know, and they were still trying to do the thing. And I'm like, they were stage parents, right? I'm
not crazy. Beyonce has been a meal ticket her whole life. Like, that's the truth. That is the straight up.
And then I also wonder, like, how does that impact them as people? Because if you were constantly only seen as valuable based on what you could provide to your family and based on, like, what you could do for people around you, one, do you have a good sense of self? Two, do you have a good, like, sense of, like, value for yourself outside of, like, concerts and outside of, like, performing? And the other thing is, like, are you aware of the difference between somebody caring for you or somebody taking advantage of you or, like, using you?
Truly, who's to say?
And that's what worries me, because, like, all these other child stars, like, there's a lot of child stars that haven't said anything, but the ones that come out are often demonized. Like, people talk so much shit about Demi Lovato, and I'm like, just, like, leave Demi Lovato alone.
Leave them alone.
Literally, when she came out and she was like, I was coked up the entire time I filmed Camp Rock.
Yeah.
And I was like, you are a baby. And also, what does that do to your brain?
Yeah. Isn't Demi Lovato non-binary or something? Because also people are, like, super mean to them about it as well.
Yes, but then I heard something about, like, now they're not, but I don't know was a rumor.
I think I heard something where it was like, they said that, like, they're going by she because people are not, like, respecting it or whatever.
Oh, no.
It's rough out there.
So I think this is just like the tip of the iceberg. I think that, as somebody who deals a lot with grief, I think it's been a lot of grief for people to hear that they're like childhood TV shows that they remember very fondly mm-hmm. are actually just like a facade behind a slew of like
fucking very bad abuses.
And like, not even just that, but also the ways in which people treated women in the industry. And because like, there's a lot of women who talk about like the abuse that they went through and like the sexual harassment and the like Dan Schneider always wanting. Because the thing about Dan Schneider is that they don't necessarily say that he is 100% like a pedophile, but they do say 100% he was sexually harassing all the women on set.
I mean, I don't like the amount of footage there is of him in a hot tub with Amanda Bynes. I don't like
that. Yeah. No, it's bad.
Even if he wasn't actually, you know what though? He was touching those girls. What was it? Who was the one where he's like behind her? Maybe it was Demi Lovato. I can't remember, but like behind them, like. Cosgrove. Huh?
It might have been Amanda. What's her name? Cosgrove?
Cosgrove. Yeah. I think like hugging her from behind. Like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Also, if really my mother, gross. Here's the thing. Because the thing about, we're talking about these parents. If my mother, if I was a child star,
and my mother, our parents wouldn't let anything happen.
A fucking man put his, a grown man.
Yeah.
Put his arms around my body. That clip would have been interrupted by my mother coming and swinging. Like, so what are we like talking about? Like, these kids had like no supervision. It's horrible.
Yeah, but that's also what I wonder. I'm like, yes, this is a systemic issue in terms of like, what is allowed on set and like the behavior that's dismissed and like the ways in which people are like, yeah, but they, why didn't anybody say anything? And it's like, well, if your whole livelihood is dependent on this, or like mm-hmm. your child's, you know, dreams, hopes and dreams of being an actor are like hinging on whether or not you're going to be like a problematic parent or not, there may be people who like may not do things or may be more quiet. And there were stories about, some of the women talked about like having situations where they wanted to say something but couldn't because they would lose their jobs. And one of the women did say that she like did file a lawsuit and like there was a settlement, but that like she was blackballed from the industry.
Yeah, and that's what happened. I mean, think about like obviously not a child star, but like Katherine Heigl, for example, about like being seen as difficult and blah blah blah. And it's like, for years, I feel like also like our awareness of these sorts of situations has like magnified so much, but years we've just sort of accepted the concept of a woman being difficult or like a child being difficult or whatever when it's actually like somebody just standing up for themselves. You know what I mean? Someone having agency and and we just accept like, oh, apparently they were difficult. And like the idea that that worked for so long is actually crazy.
Well, what's her name? That she didn't get the role on The Lord of the Rings because she said no to Harvey Weinstein, and then he told everybody that she was difficult.
Oh, I can't remember who, but I know you're talking
about. Julianne Moore, maybe?
Was it not Julianne Moore?
No.
It was someone younger and blonde, was it not?
It was younger. I don't think she was blonde, though. But
Was it? I know what you're talking about.
Bother us. Yeah. But like this whole thing about
Harvey Weinstein.
You know, and it's like, yeah, Harvey Weinstein was one of them, but apparently there are so many others.
I will not be surprised when more people like come out about like this person, that person being a fucking creep.
Well, people are already telling their bananas fucking crazy stories that are coming out of like the shows. Cause now that the documentary came out, there's all these people coming out to talk about some of the things that they went through that like wouldn't have talked about it before. Yeah. Now it's not nearly as like, it's not like Drake Bell level terrible, but it's like, you hear those stories and you're like, yeah, you could have killed someone, bro. Like on the, that set was not safe. Like there was some fucked up shit going on.
What was the one with the kid who was like you could see the footage of it, but like his like challenge was to be covered in peanut butter.
Oh and yeah. That's licked the by kid dogs. That was talking about being like a token.
By his mom. Yeah.
And his mom was like, we got him out of there. And
but like, that's horrible. Like, why are we, was there no dignity in the 90s and the early 2000s? Yeah. Did dignity not exist? So we can't, I remember, you know, truly we slimed people on TV shows at the time. Yeah, so yeah, you know I'm wrong. I take it back. Dignity didn't exist.
No.
My bad. No. But like, it's just so terrible. The things that everyone allowed and we haven't gotten to it. So I feel like we should. But the fucking feet thing, Carmen.
Oh, God.
The feet thing is so insane. Because
I feel really bad. I don't like that they made me feel bad for Ariana Grande.
Carmen, you don't have to just dislike someone so vehemently.
I don't dislike her so vehemently, but I like don't have any.
You don't want to have compassion for her?
Yeah. Like, because wow. Like, you know, she like
she's
got with a married man who had just had a baby.
Oh, now yeah, they're dating. There's plenty of things, but you SpongeBob can like separate. Squarepants. You can separate the SpongeBob from the woman, you know?
Yeah. And then I was watching this documentary and I was like, oh, there was no way she was going to come out of this in one piece.
No. Like, again, yeah, but like the feet thing is so fucking weird, but like there's so much. Number one, Nickelodeon's fucking logo, a foot. Number two, the amount
which
of
I never
footage. Wondered. Yeah, I always thought, huh, interesting. But I never like thought anything past that. I never thought it was anything. I thought because it was just silly.
Humans,
you know what I mean?
Really like to think the best of people, and our minds, because we're not disgusting, are not straight up gonna go to oh.
Yeah, but who knew? It was the Foot Fetish channel, because there's a million different clips from different shows where kids are getting their fucking feet massaged or like goo on their feet or whatever nasty shit on their feet. So much of it. And then there were things where they had like quote unquote competitions where it's like send in a picture of your feet.
Yeah. Oh my God. What that was so
the
wild.
Fuck. That is literally, I can't even believe that. And people did. They were like, because again, it was silly. Look, the logo of this thing is a foot. And then all these kids are sending in pictures of their feet. And I just...
They probably would have made... I remember I listened to this. I think we've talked about it. This podcast about like how they caught a pedophile. But like one of his main things to do was like he would sell kids' feet pictures.
Yeah, and
fuck
who's
tons
not
of
fucking
money
surprised
on the dark web.
Was it the same guy who like he would do child photo shoots, but he would also make sure to have photos where he'd take pictures from like above of a kid looking up, right? So the kid's like looking up, so then like, and it's just part of like the photo shoot or whatever.
Yeah.
He'd take these pictures and then he'd sell that to fucking creeps because it would be kid is beneath them or whatever.
But that's why I just like don't. I don't really understand how this got this far without, like, yes, Dan Schneider's a problem. Yes, all these other people are problems. But if we're not looking at the whole picture, because at this point, there's also conversations happening ever since they caught that, like, Mormon mom who stuck her kids in a safe and all that jazz. You know, those people. We need to have a deeper conversation about like how children are going to be included in the entertainment industry in a way that's like safe and morally okay. I absolutely do not think it is appropriate for kids to be on reality TV. No. I don't think it's appropriate for kids to not only be on reality TV, but also be part of the like mommy blog weird shit.
Just thought of, you know, that meme, that Jesus-y meme where it's supposed to be like people in bed being like, I consent, I didn't.
Yeah.
The last one is Jesus.
Yeah.
Just replace that, but make it a kid. I consent. The parents, and then the child is, I didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, so funny. I just keep
like
these memes.
But that, like, all the kids everybody we grew up, almost everybody we grew up watching was fucked at some point. Because Lindsay Lohan, train wreck.
Yeah.
Britney Spears, train wreck. Fucking what's it called, all the kids that had eating disorder issues. Or if I think about Macaulay Culkin and his like really he had like a few really really rough years where he could like kept getting drunk and getting arrested and like all this other stuff. Daniel Radcliffe had like a really
apparently
bad
he
time
was
with
drunk
alcohol
for half of Harry Potter, like
drunk constantly. Like, I think about Joseph Gordon-Levitt, because Joseph Gordon-Levitt is, like, 100% was a child star from, like, a very young age. It's Angels in the
Outfield.
You got
an Angels with you right now, yeah. This is not a Christian podcast, nor are we Christian. I don't know why we keep bringing up Jesus, but you got an angel with you right now. Anyway, continue.
And he seems okay. Like, some people seem fine, but then I need to know what the distinction is, because
it is
were your parents there more, but why were your parents allowed to be there more? And in other cases, parents were like, if your parent was actually there, you like were basically kicked out of the industry. Like,
I mean,
so
it could also be like, it does seem like this, the places where there is a lot of abuse, like it's like abuse across the board. So maybe again, these parents are more discerning for what projects are my children allowed on.
Right.
Maybe the parents are also vetting and being like, no, that guy seems like a creep. We're not taking this job at all. We're not even entering the arena to like get, you know, to be cornered by these kind of people, because like some people, like, cause like Corey Feldman and like Corey Haim, from what I know, it wasn't the movies they worked on. It was the parties they went to.
Yeah.
It was the places they were taken afterward. Cause like, you know, I just had the aha moment where I realized that both Frodo and Sam are child stars, but the best of my knowledge, like Sean Astin was a victim of anything, but also Sean Astin comes from like a Hollywood family. Yeah. I'm sure his fucking parents knew we're not doing this.
Yeah,
we're not
putting
we're not letting our kid to go to these fucking parties, and we're not allowing this and this and this.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So like, I think it's also
whereas Drew Barrymore, unfortunately, was quite the opposite.
Quite the opposite. Ones who Hollywood families didn't care. But like, it does seem like it may be the case where it's like, it's before they even get on set. It is, where is my kid going to this job? I don't think so. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. Because I did see this. Was it? I don't know if I sent it to you, but it was this video of Shirley Temple, like as an older person.
Oh no, I didn't.
Saying that she was like, because you know, it was back in the day when she made movies, like you had to make deals with the movie company and not with like, not for specific movies, but with companies as a whole.
Yeah,
and like had a contract for X amount of movies. And so she, I think it was something like she had a story about how she went to MGM with her mother, and she was like 14 or something, and so they separated them, and they like sent her mother up to talk to like one of the execs, and then she talked to like one of the other execs, and that she was laughing the entire time she's telling the story. So let me make this very clear. It was not a somber conversation that she was having. It was like a late night talk show conversation where she's laughing the whole time. Uh-huh. And she's basically saying that like, oh, the guy exposed himself to me.
Oh no.
So he flashed her. She was like, and she had said that she had never seen anybody else naked other than herself. So it was like very shocking and made her really uncomfortable. And then, you know, the meeting ended and she left. And then her mom also looked really like jarred. And so when they were going home, the mom was like, well, that was an interesting meeting. Like, and she's like, yeah. And she's like, how did it go for you? And she's like, I don't really think I like MGM. And when she told her why, her mom was like, that's awful. Also, the executive that I met with hit on me and tried to get me to sleep with him or whatever. So, you know, both mom and daughter made the decision that they're like, we don't want
to. We're not doing this. No.
Yeah. But like, that could have gone way worse. And two, it was so normal for this woman that as an adult, she's laughing about it.
Yeah, I think there's, I mean, just obviously concerning. Like,
I mean, like, it's fine. Maybe we deal with trauma, however we deal it. But
maybe nothing bad happened to her. Well, like, I very much doubt nothing bad happened to Shirley Temple, but maybe nothing bad did happen to her. Because maybe
her mom was like, hey, let's have honest conversations about how things go so that you don't feel ashamed.
It was also like the 60s. So like people were more like, yeah, of course men are going to do that to you. I mean, I feel like the attitude towards like a certain kind of man, still exists in like very conservative spaces. Cause they'll be like, like you'll hear all the time. Like, remember the whole scandal with like, what's his name? The Fox News thing.
Oh yes.
Murdoch. And how people would be like, those sorts of like conservative women were like, oh, well, you know that there are certain men you're not allowed to get in an elevator with, as if like that's totally normal. So I feel like there's a certain attitude towards being assaulted that some people, it's like a very old fashioned attitude some people have, where they treat it like, oh, whatever. I will say, I mean, I have stories where, remember that time I told you about like where the man put his penis on my arm in the Rome?
Yeah.
And I think that story is fucking hilarious because I'm like, that was crazy, right? And then I tell people and they're horrified. So again, everyone does process things differently.
No. Yeah. And I don't think she processed it poorly or anything, but in my head, I think the concerning part was like, I hope that she's laughing out of trauma and not because this is so normal to her that she thinks this is like another Tuesday, you know?
Yeah.
But if this has been going on for this long,
and the fact that, like,
I don't know how you rectify this. So I've been listening to, one of the girls that was in the documentary, who's like been a really strong advocate. She was on Zoe 101. She's like Britney Spears' friend on the show, the brunette.
Okay.
On Zoe 101. Her name is Alexa Nicholas. And she has been an extremely outspoken advocate for years, like from way before. She has her own YouTube channel. And like a lot of people, including a lot of assholes who were also child stars, talked a lot of shit about her and said that she was psycho and said that she was like unhinged because she would literally go to Nickelodeon or like different places and have protests where it was like her and her husband or like her and her partner and like four people or like three people. And they would protest about like the working conditions for kids. Yeah. And now I think she's being really vindicated because everybody's like, what the fuck? How did this happen? And she's like, I think I started following her YouTube like a few days ago. Okay. And I think she was sitting at like maybe 50,000 followers. And like, it's maybe been a week, not even. And now she has 84,400 followers. So like,
oh wow,
she's getting a lot of
attention, attraction
because she's been doing this for so long. She has been talking about, like, if I go back, her first video was a year ago at one of her protests, you know, and she has things where she's like, Nickelodeon didn't protect me. Or like, you know, she talks about different, she talks about Dan Schneider
a lot
way before Dan Schneider was like ever seen as like an issue. And so she, it's been really cool to see her talk about this because now she's like talking about all the stuff that's coming out and like how good it is to hear this. But her main thing is she's like, we should have counselors on set so that like therapists on set for kids, because therapists will be the best able to determine whether or not a child actually is consenting to be on this and whether or not a child knows what's needed, you know, on the show. But then also like, how do we have other safeguards and like making sure the parents can be there and like also assessing the parents and like,
this and that,
doing all this other work and like allowing kids to kind of be kids and like all this other shit. But it's, yeah, so she's saying that there's a lot that needs to change, but like, I don't know, man, this coming out and then the P. Diddy thing coming out like directly after, and then me seeing all the people involved in that, because like he's not the only one named in the lawsuit, like Chris Brown is, Cuba Gooding Jr., like all sorts of other people.
Not surprising.
It's rough, Catherine. Cuba Gooding Jr. has done it. There's pictures. It's bad.
Really?
What doing horrendous things. So, you know, there's all this stuff coming out. And I'm like,
yeah.
Do we just throw the industry away entirely? Because what the fuck is this?
It is one of those things, though. Actually, I do wonder about that. Because here's the thing. There are aspects of the younger generation that is coming up right now that are a little like puritanical, I will say. However, they also are more likely to be like, yeah, I'm not gonna participate in this shit. And like, why do I have to watch these movies? Why do I, like, in the same way that like our generation killed like fucking Applebee's, like they could kill the industry and they genuinely could, because they stop fucking paying attention, because like they can be like, all the people we care about, all the celebrities we care about are like internet celebrities or whatever. But like, they could kill this industry for real, because if nobody's going, nobody's buying into it, people aren't watching, like what do they have? I think the thing about like Hollywood is that they feel like they're too big to fail, and they are not. This is not an old industry. This industry is like 100 years old.
Also, I think if anything, so this industry doesn't, you know,
it doesn't, it's not, and also it's also changed so much, like, and the way it's run now is very different, I'm sure, than the way it was run like even 50 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, of course.
So it's like, the way things are run and the way things are going, it's not as if it's something that's too big to fail. It can absolutely fail, and they can continue to make less and less money. I mean, the thing that people talk about all the time with like, in terms of like movies in Hollywood and blah blah blah, is that like, people don't go to the movies, people are making less money. Like Dune 2 is a big deal because like, oh wow, people are going to the theater, all that kind of stuff. But it's because like, A, there's like a lack of creativity, or rather there is a stifling of creativity when it comes to movies. They don't want to support things that are creative new. They want to keep doing the same thing over and over again, and they want to be able to abuse people as much as possible. And now they have the problem of people find their shit boring. People don't like when their other people are abused for their entertainment. Shocking, shocking. And then like, they're just going to continue to unravel. So it may be a point where we might be able to just genuinely throw it away, or start from the ground up, or something.
They have a bunch of A24s everywhere. Just have a bunch of weird, strange movies. Like indie distribution companies that just like, that's how you do the work. Because if you don't, like, if we think about the people that have broken out like in the industry in recent years, Issa Rae, how did she start off? She started off on YouTube with like, which by the way, some of us have been watching her.
Quinta Brunson.
Those days. Quinta Brunson, BuzzFeed. Hello. BuzzFeed? Uh-huh. I love her episode of BuzzFeed Unsolved Postmortem where she guested and talked about aliens, and it was great.
But yeah, it's like a whole different thing. And like, obviously there's also many an issue with YouTube and different sort of platforms.
Oh yeah.
Like that. However, I do think that people,
but YouTube isn't like forcing you to hire pedophiles. Do you know what I mean?
No,
like,
it's not. No, it probably hosts pedophiles without much
issue. And then there's the family bloggers that we need to shut down immediately.
Oh my God. This is a full side note. They should not exist. But I watched this full thing about the like, the fucking weirdo that there was this guy on Kick. You know what Kick is? So that other streaming platform. I think there's a guy, his name is like, it's something about, it literally is called Something About Chickens. And he goes and does this whole deep dive into this fucking creep on Kick who does this thing where he like convinces girls to like flash, like, or like, it's basically because Kick is this kind of, he operates like it's not on Omegle because Omegle's like dead, but it's like whatever the new Omegle is, just are like randomly like
because Kick like, is also together. An app like on your phone, so you don't actually need to have a phone number as long as you have Wi-Fi.
But like, it basically what he does is that he convinces girls to like flash or whatever, and then takes like photos of it and then shares it to a private Discord, but all these girls are underage. And so he's basically literally making, distributing, and selling child porn all like on camera. And he's a fucking idiot who doesn't realize what he's doing. And now he's like the one person who's been banned from that platform because like this guy made this video, but he still hasn't been arrested or anything like that. But like there is potential for insane abuse on these platforms as well if they're not properly regulated. However, you should, by the way, watch the video. It's really good. Something about chickens. That's, if we're going to talk, we can just do it right now. What do I recommend? I recommend the Something About Chickens video. Let me look it up. Something About Chickens.
Can I just say that growing up, I didn't like a lot of the like live action kids shows.
It's called To Catch a Kick Predator by Something About Chickens on YouTube.
I will watch that. But no, but seriously, like if I, can I just say, I thought the Amanda show was a little much.
Wow. Is this your vindication? Is this your final thing?
No, I
loved all that though.
I loved all that. Yeah. All I used to watch that with my cousins. My cousins and I remember going to my cousin's house and like watching all that. And I thought all that was fun.
I will agree. The Amanda show was a bit much sometimes, but she did have, you know, it was like a little girl doing her best. And she has great comedic timing, and she had like really good character things that she did.
Oh yeah. She's great. But like, I just remember when I was little, I was like, this is a lot. Like I can't deal with this. I just don't know. I just feel like there needs to be some way to balance kids who really want to do really creative things, being able to do it on this scale. I think that would be great.
Yeah.
While also allowing for them to flourish in whatever way they flourish. Cause like, if I think about the actress, who's the actress that played Matilda?
Mara
something,
Wilson.
Something. Yeah.
Mara Wilson.
So she was like, fuck this. And like fucked off out of the industry. And then
who knows what she does? Like, I don't even know.
She came back and she was like, yeah, like, I didn't want to fucking keep doing this because like the fame is a lot and it's like overwhelming and it's too much. And so, but she was also a phenomenal actress. So like, you need to find a balance between like, my kid's talented, but like, I don't need to, why are we forcing them to do these things? Maybe they just want
people
to
are be so a mechanic. Weird. Yeah. People are just so weird. Think about how weird people were with the Stranger Things kids. That was just like recently. People were so fucking weird about Finn Wolfhard in particular. It was like, number one, okay, take this however you want, but like, why are you being a creep, B, a creep to some ugly kid? What's happening here?
Who are these
grown women?
Yeah.
Messaging ugly children. Sorry.
Literally.
I'm just saying. I don't understand it.
Let's be real. Like, it's not even, for all we know, it's not even that they're ugly. It's just that they're, first of all, every middle school age child.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. They're ugly little middle school kids. Every, like, obviously they were cute kids, but like in the same, but at the same time, like, they're all ugly. They're little
because
middle school
they're middle
kids.
school kids, and because we were all ugly in middle
That's
school.
That's like, yeah, by the way, this
We
is
were
not me
all, our
insulting
bodies
Finn
didn't.
Wolfhard.
No,
I'm
no.
not saying that he's ugly. I'm just saying they're ugly little kids. I
And
don't know.
people are still like trying to get in their pants. It's like, didn't Justin Bieber say at some point there were like things where he was like, yeah, man, like I was
I
like, there
Justin
were grown
Bieber,
women trying to like,
who's
trying to get it
surprised?
onto my tour bus when I was like 13 or 14 or whatever, however the fuck old he was. And I'm like, that is,
It's
please
so
send these women
strange.
to jail.
Send them
Send
into
these people to
jail.
jail. I just, anyway. The moral of the story is that we need to watch things with as much discernment as possible. And also we need to like, when somebody says things, I know we are quick to judge. This is why when the whole stuff happened with like Amanda Bynes or with Britney Spears, where like people were like, look, they've lost their minds. Look at,
look
those
at this
insane
crazy
wigs.
Woman. This woman's insane.
Now, why did I take part in making fun of Amanda Bynes' dollar store wigs?
Perhaps.
I sure did.
Perhaps you did.
I will say that I did. And looking back, I regret it because I, instead of it being a conversation about like what happened that got you to this point, I think it was more a conversation of like, what the fuck
what
is
are you
going
doing,
on?
You crazy bitch. Yeah.
And we need to have more compassion and empathy, because I'm finding that a lot of people only tend to have compassion and empathy if it's happened to them, which is double as bad because those same people are then seeing everybody else making fun of folks, which is then very triggering and traumatizing and like stops people from wanting to speak out when something does happen to them. You know, like there's like seeing everybody make fun of, if for example, if Drake Bell came out and everybody made fun of like,
yeah,
him, I think people wouldn't be coming out with all the stories that they've now been coming out with. So
yeah, it is nice that there is a little bit more support for the victims. And I think also like,
and there needs to be like, we need to be more compassionate and take a second when
it is
wild ass stories come out on the news that we go,
yeah,
oh,
it is one of those things though.
Happened.
Like, I think that obviously it is the terrible fact that like, because he's a boy, a man, that there is people there is that factor. Cause like, again, Amanda Bynes has been saying these things for quite some time. And of course there wasn't a trial in the same way that lends credibility, blah, 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 blah. But like,
well, there's also like sanism.
I would say there's the sanism element of it. The fact that Amanda Bynes doesn't present like she's like, well, cause she's not, but like,
and
because
they
Drake
use that,
Bell
but they
does,
use that to discredit her.
That's what they use to discredit her. But because Jake Bell does, because he looks like he's put together, people will be like, oh my God,
I can't believe this happened.
This happened. You look so fine, normal. Like, people just like take it completely differently.
Yeah.
Again, to point to Corey Feldman, ain't nobody been taking him seriously ever.
No.
Because he doesn't seem well, because he's not.
Not.
But like,
because he was traumatized from a very young age.
Of course he isn't.
Anyway, it's fine. It's fine.
And also, they've been discrediting him for like, he has like 40 years of just being discredited.
I truly had a moment where I was like, I wish Barbara Walters was alive right now, because her reckoning and people talking, being like, this woman is an awful human being, only started after she died. I was like, I hope there's an afterlife, and I hope you're watching, because you're a horrible human being.
It's probably because I feel like she was like beloved by like Gen X and like boomers and stuff. People like looked up to her in some sort of way, but like, I feel like millennials and Gen Z are like, get the fuck
Listen,
out of here now.
I love Fidel Castro, but how do you have more compassion for Fidel Castro than you do for Corey Feldman?
Yeah. I was watching
that interview.
You're the one,
googly eyes to Fidel Castro, but Corey Feldman's like, there are pedophiles all over Hollywood, and you're like, ah.
Or the one where it's like someone interviewing Corey Feldman, and they're like, why aren't you doing anything about it? He's like, I'm doing something about it. He's like, I'm like talking about it. He's like, and why is it all on me?
Yeah,
the poor man.
I just want to give him a hug and be like, bro, I'm so sorry. I'm so fucking sorry. He's
and
been
also,
warning people forever. Also, we need to, I think whenever a parent brings a child to an audition, there should be a therapist there assessing the parent.
Are you okay? Are you doing well? What's going on?
Yeah. Because I cannot believe, I'm going to give you my password for my Discovery Plus so you can watch
the documentary. Okay, I'll watch it.
Because I cannot believe this. And just, you know, conveniently, Drake Bell's mother didn't.
Oh, she didn't participate? No.
No.
She didn't feel the need. She's probably just still spending his money, like, whatever.
It's a piece of shit. I saw this video of this Black woman who's like, she was like, I'm here on behalf of, she's like, you know, as on behalf of like Drake Bell, just as he's like, I've seen the documentary. I think that your mother owes you an apology. And also, we just want to know where she lives.
We just want to know.
We just want to know. We just want to talk to her.
We just know everyone just wants to have a conversation. That's all. Just a chat. Okay.
And that's how I felt. I was like, y'all didn't protect this poor child.
This poor boy. It's just, it's so sad. It's really is just so sad. And also, like, we should, have we done an episode about pedophiles before?
No, we probably should.
We should. Because I have like so much information. I find them like, it's fascinating to me just because, like I said before, like as someone who studied history, you can't fucking flip a page in a history book without being like, yeah, pedophile, 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 yeah, pedophile, pedophile. Yeah. And it's just like, what? It's like, again, I, you know, the one where it's like, the vine where it's like, there's only one thing worse than a rapist. A child, you know, the child rapist one.
God.
So anyway, stay tuned for our episode about pedophiles. That's
coming. It'll be
years soon.
It'll be a sunshine fun time topic. Wonderful. I'll get to talk about how we need to provide therapy without reporting because
I agree. like.
Also, I tend to find, I mean, okay, this will be a conversation for that episode, but there's a difference between somebody who's a pedophile because they are genuinely attracted to children, which is like fucked. But oftentimes those people, what ends up happening is they like want support. Oftentimes they end up self-harming or hurting themselves before they actually do anything to a child. And then there's the people who do it because it's like a
power thing.
Yeah, it's a power thing. So there are two different types.
Which is so, listen, if you're trying to exert power and you can only do it over a child, you're such a fucking loser. You're not, you just go beat up a man, you fucking loser. Go come beat up a woman. Come fucking fight me. Find me at my house. I'll fight you.
Yeah.
But that actually happens a lot. What's the, okay, we're getting to a lot of topic. Anyway, and we need to end. Oh my God. What about, you know, the ones, the Chicago guys who like cut off women's breasts and stuff. And it was like four men and they would like assault one woman. No, it was like men and they could barely take on one woman, you fucking losers. I can't remember what their names are, but they used to cut off women's breasts.
Was it two?
There was one, maybe it was two, but there was whichever the one
they used to kill, they used to like bring women home and then they would both.
Yeah, you can't beat up a woman. Fucking losers. We've really gone off course. Anyway.
Recommendaciones.
Well, I already said my recommendation. It is, again, Something About Chickens and his video on To Catch a Kick Predator. It's great.
I'm gonna watch it tonight.
The dumbest fucking idiot you've ever seen. And also the spaces that are being created by fucking creep weirdos online. Shocking. You're gonna be shocked.
Only they spent that energy doing good things, but
and they're young too. These are young creeps.
Always. I recommend I talked to Catherine about this yesterday. I recommend Being Human, the British one, not the American one. Thank you very much. It's back on Prime is getting all the BBC shows back. I don't know what's happening, but they're all coming back. They have Doctor Who now. I saw a bunch of other like BBC shows that came back that like were taken down. I'm very excited. I will be watching Being Human. It is magical and marvelous and very sad. It has a very sad ending, but very good.
So. I mean, one question about Being Human, because I did watch the first couple of seasons, but it does that thing that British shows do where they just sort of like replace the cast with other people by the end.
Yeah.
And it's all of a sudden you're at the end of the series and it's a whole different cast, but they're like, it's the same show. I didn't like that. But the first, as an adjacent to Being Human, I don't know if it's on Prime or wherever it's on, but Misfits is a dynamite show. And it does the same Misfits. Thing, actually, where you replace everybody. But the first couple seasons of Misfits, pretty good.
Fantastic. Yeah. Being Human, I like the cast because it has that guy that I like.
The sad eye boy.
Who looks like the sister. His sister and him look the same.
They have the, from Misfits. If you see a man with sad eyes, I'm telling you right now, Carmen has had a crush on him. No questions asked. And if she hasn't, it's because she hasn't seen him yet.
And he has a very working class accent, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, he plays a werewolf, and he's adorable and lovely and sweet. On the show, he's like very, he is also very like puritanical about himself, which is very funny. But anyway, I recommend Being Human because it's a good palate cleanser. Because then you just have to worry about like vampires and werewolves and no problems.
Easy. Way less. Honestly, those are the monsters I like.
Yeah.
Those are the monsters for me. Thank you
very much. I would rather those. Any day.
Any day.
Any who's okay.
Well, you can find us at I'd Kill a Spider for You, basically everywhere on the internet. And you can find me at the CC Williams, also everywhere on the internet. I got that brand continuity. Thank you.
And you can find me at Carmen_Maria416 for all things grief and politics. And basically, that's about it. So,
all right. Well, yeah, on a lighter note, I know this was a very heavy episode. Again, we recommend you watch something fun and lighthearted. And
drink
we hope
some tea.
Drink some tea, drink some water.
Burn some sage.
Basalt. Some pedophiles, you know, whatever it needs, you need to do to like get these feelings out, like you can you could do we approve, right? But don't, this is not admissible in court anyway. Thank you so much. Peace out A-Town down.
No, Catherine, not after P. Diddy. Stop this.
Wait, is that him?
He is involved.
Oh, okay, all right.
So no, not peace out A-Town down.
That's Usher though. What did Usher do?
Listen,
we don't need to know.
Stories coming out. We don't need to know. Okay. Oh, God.